Thank you.
Well, good morning to you all. Did you like that trumpet? Yeah, man, I did too. I love the trumpet, Jason. Wished I could play one. I can hardly get a noise out of the thing, let alone play a hymn. Right, we're going to today to look at lies about God, and we're up to number 4. Here it is. Lies about God. God has never personally suffered. If you go through Yellowstone Park, you'll come across, if you go there at the right time, a whole lot of bison or buffalo. They're huge, big animals. They're in herds. They're grazing beside rivers. It looks so wonderful. But every now and again, you'll come across an old bull, all by himself. Why is he there, all by himself, when everybody else of his herd is just together as one family? And as you research what happens, you find that old fella there, he's suffering. Because you see, he's been thrown out of the herd. He's got a bit old and decrepit. A bit like me, I guess. Yet I haven't been thrown out of the family yet. But I understand that as he's there by himself, lonely, not is he only feeling forsaken, but actually he's probably in quite a lot of physical pain. And physical pain, for instance, can be quite nasty, can't it? You ask Chrissy. It is, isn't it? Yeah, it's good to get rid of it. And why has that happened? Because some young upstart has had a fight with him and said, "You go, I'm in charge of the harem round here." And I thought to myself, I wonder how he's really feeling. And I'll never know, will I? Because you see, I personally have never been a buffalo. At least I don't think so. And if I really wanted to understand how that big animal is feeling, I would have to become a buffalo, and I would have to go through the same experiences that he has. You know, there's a lot of criticisms about God. God has never personally suffered. And going along with that, I looked up some of the criticisms of God. And I'm really glad that I've been given this subject, because at least the critic is admitting there is a God, because he says God has never personally suffered. And that's good. Here are some of the criticisms of God. God has never had pain. He is free from sickness, so how can he know about pain? God has never suffered violence. He is free of that because he lives in heaven. God has never experienced loss of a loved one, so how can he know what that is like? God is not a human. So how can he possibly know what it is like to go through our experiences? And so they say that when you suffer, what's the use of asking God for help or comfort? Because he really doesn't understand. They suggest that you should go and find help from other sources, from those who have experienced such conditions. These are the words of great philosophers and even some theologians. The question is, are their statements true? Are the above statements that they make the truth and not a lie? And are those strange people who call themselves Christians deluded when they think God understands pain and he can help? What does God say? This morning I would like to take you along with me from this book. You know what it is, don't you? The Holy Bible. And the Holy Bible is a magnificent book, because I'll tell you something. It is actually the Word of God. And as you read it, you will find that the statements that philosophers and scholars, the brilliant debaters of this world, in fact are quite wrong when they say God has never suffered personally. This book says God has suffered personally. I want you to remember just two facts this morning. Just two things. Now, I hope I don't get too complicated, and I hope you'll stay with me. So we'll have fact number one, please, up on the screen. And here is the fact. Number one. God knows what it is like to be a human. Did you know that? I'll say it again. God knows what it is like to be a human. Not only did he create them, but in the person of Jesus Christ, God became a man. And for some 33 years, lived among us. See, Jesus is more than just another human being. When I read the Bible, I find some interesting facts about Jesus and who he is and what his name is. Mary was told that little baby that's going to be born from you, even though you are a virgin, his name is going to be called Emmanuel. And you know what Emmanuel means? God with us. So the promise was that the baby Jesus that was about to be born was going to be God with us. I love another passage found in the book called Colossians. It says this: Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. You see, when people saw Jesus walking around in Israel, yes, they might have seen a human being, but that human being was none other than God the Son. Now, I've got a real keenness about the book of Philippians. And there's a very interesting statement about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. And I'll just quote you the clause. It says this about Jesus, who being in the form of God. So the King James people, that's what it says in your Bible, who being in the form of God. Some of you here will have New International versions. It says this. Better get it right. Who being in very nature God. And the version I like to read in public, and I'll read a bit of it soon, the New Living Translation, they really short circuit. They say this about Jesus in Philippians 2, verse 6. He is God. How's that? Now you see, most of you will know that the Bible was originally written in what language? Who can tell me? Greek, New Testament Greek, yep. And the Greeks had two words for what translators into English can either use, which might be form or nature. And they had two words to describe it. And one word that they used was this. It was a word that meant the part of a person, no matter what the circumstances were, never changed, never altered. And then they had another word that we could say is the nature of a thing or the form of a thing, and that was the part of people that did change from time to time. Let me give you an example. Did you know once I was a little baby? Hard to believe, eh? But I was. And if I look at my old Plunkett book, yeah, they had Plunkett books in my day, but they had it in imperial measurements. I was actually 22 inches long, and I can't remember how heavy I was, but I wasn't all that big. That happened later in life. There was one thing about me, though, as a little baby, I was a human being, right? Now, if you came to my home about 5 years later when I was about to go to school, I was running around. I wasn't a baby any longer. I had changed. Sometimes my mother didn't think I'd changed for the better, but I had changed. But there was something about me that had never yet changed. You know what it was? I was a human. Now, some of you will remember when I was a teenager, I thought I was pretty big and strong. I could take on any All Black or anything like that. Didn't matter. I could even grow a beard if I wanted to. I'd changed. There was a part about me that had never changed, though. I was a human. Now here I am. Yeah, I'd admit I've gone over 70 years, and my lovely black hair has now gone white. I sort of hobble along, and I've changed. But there's another part about me that's never changed, and that is I'm a human being. Get it? Now, when we read the Bible, the word that they use for describing who Jesus really is, and we have it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, they're describing the part of Jesus that never changed. And that was, He is God. So has God ever suffered? Does God know what it's like to be a human? He certainly does, because in the person of Jesus Christ, God became a human being. And that human being that was named Jesus was always and will always be God. So fact number one, you can remember that, eh? Jesus is God. Now, here we go to fact number two. Let's put that one up, shall we? Better have a look at my notes to see where I'm up to. Yeah, fact number two is this. Jesus experienced all the forms of human suffering. And I invite you to come along with me, and Jason has already introduced it for us this morning. Come with me to the passages that describe the last few days of the life of Jesus, just before and when he was crucified. And we will learn something about, does God really suffer? Now, I thought about human suffering, and basically there seems to be three types of suffering us human beings may have to endure. And I find out that actually Jesus experienced all three of them. The first one, and you can tell me whether I'm right or wrong, whether there's just three. The first one is emotional suffering. And this can happen when we are facing the unknown or about to face an incident we know is going to be unpleasant, and it completely overwhelms us. Brings us out, as we would say, in a hot sweat. Maybe it's due to a loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of possessions. It can happen, can't it, when we're sort of facing the unknown, and it causes us to suffer. Jesus was about to go to the cross. He knew he was to suffer violently at the hands of people, and above all, suffer the judgment of God for the sins of the whole world. How could he do it? Remember, although he's God, he's a real human being. Should he turn back? So he goes to a garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. Who's ever been to the Garden of Gethsemane, literally? Anybody? Yeah, they're good. Some people down the back there, that's good. So have I. And they tell me that some of the olive trees there were there when Jesus went to the garden in the time that I'm attempting to describe to you. Jesus goes to this garden and he prays about what he's to face. And what does he say? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And then he goes to seek the companionship of his disciples, but they've gone to sleep. And then the text says this, and being in agony, his sweat was like drops of blood falling down to the ground. And the word agony here is used of someone fighting a battle with sheer fear. I wonder if anybody here this morning is suffering like that. There's battles going on in your life and you do not know how to face it, and it makes you come out in a hot sweat. You wonder, where can I go? Why should I feel like this? Jesus knows what that's like. So what did he do? It's quite interesting what he did. He prayed to his heavenly Father. The Father heard the prayer, but you know, he didn't remove the cup, suffering, but he did send an angel to strengthen him to face the great issue that lay ahead. And dear friend, if you're suffering emotionally this morning because of some battle in your life, you know not how to face it, remember, that's how Jesus felt. He understands. And we would say, put your faith in him. Ask him this morning to help you, because he knows what it's like. So there's emotional suffering. Then there's another sort of suffering, and most of us have experienced this, physical suffering. None of us, it seems, or very few, ever escape physical suffering. Things go wrong with our body, an accident, a disease. For some, it's hunger, thirst, disaster, and they all mean suffering. The question is, does God know what it feels like to physically suffer? My answer to you this morning as I look into the Bible is this. Oh yes, He does. I want to read to you now from the Scriptures. If you've got your Bible, you could look at it. It's a description about Jesus written nearly 800 years before it happened. And you see whether Jesus knows what it is like to physically suffer. I'm reading from Isaiah 52, verse 13. And remember, this is about the Son of God. See, my servant will prosper. He will be highly exalted. But many were amazed when they saw him. Now listen to this. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know that he was a man. He will startle many nations. Kings will stand speechless in his presence, for they will see what they had not been told, and they'll understand what they had not heard about. Chapter 53 and verse 2. My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Is that suffering? I tell you it is. Listen to this from Matthew's Gospel. When they had taken Jesus and put him on trial, it says this. Then they spat in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. That's physical suffering, is it not? Then Matthew 27. Pilate released Barabbas, who was a robber and a murderer. He ordered Jesus to be flogged with a lead-tipped whip. Imagine how painful that would be. And then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. One of the cruelest ways you could ever suffer was to be crucified by the Romans. Our Lord Jesus, who's God the Son, he suffered like that. And they say, God has never suffered. Why did Jesus suffer like that? Was it because he couldn't escape it? He couldn't do anything about it? Do you know he could have called 12,000 angels? And what show would men have against that number of angels? But did you know why he suffered that? Do you know? The Bible says he suffered for me, my sin, your sin. In these times, he gave himself as a sacrifice to God so that we might be the recipients of eternal life. Does God know what it's like to suffer? My friend, he does. Even our physical suffering. And then there's a third sort of suffering. It's called spiritual suffering. I describe this as a hideous sort of suffering, and quite a number experience it. It could be described as the top end, I suppose, of depression, the top end of where things totally get upon us. I don't know about you, but I believe it's propagated by the forces of the unseen world that are led by Satan. And more people are suffering this sort of suffering. And it goes like this. God seems so distant. In fact, it seems that when I call out to God, he's absolutely forsaken me. My calls to him go unanswered. And furthermore, everybody else and everything else one calls upon, they're just not there. It's utter, utter loneliness. There seems to be no hope at all. And people that I've talked to about this sort of suffering tell me it just seems as though you're in a deep, deep pit. Or there's a great net over you. And that pit has sides so steep that it's impossible to climb out of it. And it's absolutely darkness. Does God understand that sort of suffering? Surely God could not suffer like this. Let's go back to the cross for a moment. Listen to what the writer Mark records happened there. Listen. At midday, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at that time, Jesus called with a loud voice. A strange cry. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And in English that means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far away from me? Did you know that saying was prophesied nearly 900 years before Jesus was crucified? You'll find it in Psalm chapter 22. And that psalm describes what Jesus felt like in the hours of darkness as he made the necessary sacrifice for our sins so that through faith we could enjoy peace and forgiveness and hope and eternal life. He knew what it's like be forsaken. And what did he feel like? Psalm 22 says he seemed to be so distant from help He says, I find no relief. I feel like a worm and I'm not even human. I'm scorned and despised by all. It feels as though a herd of bulls or a pride of lions are attacking me, as though an evil gang is closed in, or a pack of dogs has got hold of me. I don't know, but perhaps some of this rings a bell with some of you here this morning. If you're going through this sort of suffering, I thank God that He's never put me through that. But I want you to know this, that God knows what it's like. And the question is, I wonder why God allowed this. Why did He allow it to happen? Not only to me, but to Himself. The amazing thing is that God can turn even this sort of suffering even to good. Because at the end of Psalm 22 it says this, future generations will serve God. Our children will hear about it. The wonders of the Lord, His righteous acts will be told even to those yet unborn. They will hear about everything He has done. You know, as I thought about suffering and the reasons and the answers, I will confess this morning, I really do not know why might happen to you. I don't know the answers, but I do know this, and I'll read a verse from the Bible to you in Hebrews 2 verse 18. It says, since Jesus has gone through suffering and temptation, He is able to help us. What a promise. Since He has suffered, He is able to help us. And it goes on to say, think about Jesus. Look at Him. Think upon Him. He is the only one who can in the end help us through suffering. Now, I'm not saying this morning if you're on medication or anything like that, some form of suffering, you keep taking that medication. It really can help. But there's something else that can always help us. It's not something, it's a person. And His name is Jesus. The pain may not immediately be taken away, but I can assure you that you will be in the arms of God, the God of all comfort. Perhaps today you're suffering and you need help. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's spiritual. Look, make your needs known to someone. And at least I believe we will be able to show you how you can put your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, the person who is the real help, for He is God and He has personally suffered. Let's pray. O God, take Your mighty word and my human stammering explanations of it. And by your Spirit, apply it to all of our hearts. May we be assured that you do know what it's like to suffer. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you this morning that you suffered for me, that you suffered for all here, so that we might have peace and joy and relief and eternal life. What a wonderful, caring God you are. There's nobody like you. Oh Lord, cause our eyes to turn to you. And thank you that you personally suffered so that you might understand us. We're not worthy of such attention. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I pray for anybody here who's going through some suffering, perhaps torment. Lord, some of us have relatives who are in this situation. Oh God, reveal yourself to them, we pray, so that they might be able to rejoice in the deliverance you bring. Hear our prayer, we pray, in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen.